it has been something that I have wanted to talk about for a long time, of really how to tap into your personal purpose, not just your business goals, but how do you tap into who you are authentically and dive into your creative side and bring that back into work.
Welcome back to Future Ready, folks. I'm Bill Sheridan. And if you're in the accounting finance world, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm willing to bet big money that you are. Quite frankly, if you don't work in this profession and you're listening to this podcast, you need some professional help. But anyway, assuming that you are working in this profession, you've probably heard this phrase before, trusted business advisor. In fact, you've probably heard yourself described that way and probably a million different times. And it has been used so often that it's almost become cliche, right? CPAs are trusted business advisors. But what does that really mean? Trusted, that should be like the absolute lowest setting on the bar for determining who we decide to work with, right? I mean, if we're working with them, it goes without saying that we trust them to a certain extent. So what's the differentiator here? What really sets us apart as business advisors? Well, my guest today thinks she has the answer. She's Amy Vetter, and man, I mean, quite frankly, what hasn't she done? She's a CPA, an entrepreneur, a business executive, a keynote speaker, an author. She's had some high-profile gigs with some pretty cutting-edge folks in the profession, and I'm talking about folks like Xero, Sage, Intuit. She's been recognized as one of the most powerful women in accounting by CPA Practice Advisor, one of the top 100 most influential people in accounting by Accounting Today. So she does a little bit of everything, including teach yoga, by the way. So this is a well-rounded thought leader that we're talking about here. For our purposes, she's published a couple of books in the past year, including one called Integrated Advisory Services, Expanding Your Accounting Services Beyond the Cloud. And the key to doing that is what she calls being a cherished advisor. And here's how she defines that. She says, a cherished advisor is a trusted, highly valued strategic partner whom your clients depend on to understand what the numbers mean at a holistic level and how to use them to make smarter decisions, business decisions, and life decisions. And she says computers can give your clients the financial data they need, but they still lack the time and expertise to truly understand that data and make changes in their businesses and lives to create better financial outcomes. And that, she says, is where cherished advisors can change the game. And there's a huge technological aspect to all this as well. It's possible that advances in technology could free up enough of our time so that we can devote ourselves to truly becoming that cherished advisor. So, and this, by the way, this conversation couldn't come at a better time. Advisory is a hot topic in the profession. It seems like every firm out there is trying to crack that nut and figure out how to add advisory to their suite of services, and they're all looking for first steps. And Amy's got some ideas for how to get started. So let's hear what she has to say. Here's Amy Vetter.
So exciting times in the world of Amy Vetter these days. Tell me what you've been up to since you left Xero.
Well, thanks for having me on, Bill. I'm excited to talk about all of that. It's been definitely an exciting time to really rethink what I wanted to do next in my career. For me, it's always been a real passion for me to help the profession to really move forward. Everything that I've done in my career has really been about that. And I just thought that it was time for me to be independent and make sure that the advice that I'm giving is seen as independent advice and what is happening out there in the profession at large, not just with one vendor.
How did it feel leaving Xero? I mean, you'd been there for so long, and I know it's such a cool organization. They do really great work. You know, that whole software, that's beautiful thing. I mean, they really were cutting edge folks. Any regrets or bittersweet feelings about stepping away from a group like that? Or
I don't have any bad feelings at all. The opportunities that I had to do the things that I did at Xero with helping grow a business in the United States, but also help Xero grow globally, was an extremely exciting role. And I loved the work that I did and enjoyed it. And I've loved the work that I did at Intact, also at Intuit. All of it has been at that moment times of just moving the profession forward in different ways. And so it was just time. I was ready. I was on my own before working in corporate, independent as a speaker and in the accounting profession. And I just felt it was time for me to go that direction again in this phase of my career.
Well, you're obviously doing something right. I mean, you're prolific. All of a sudden, I'm seeing your name everywhere. You've had two books come out in the past year alone. First one, am I getting the title right? Business Balance and Bliss?
Yeah.
Give me kind of the Reader's Digest version there. What's the premise behind this book?
Well, some people may know and some people may not know, but the other side of me being a CPA is being a yogi. So I found yoga when I was 32 years old and was in public accounting and really going through a transformation in my career, becoming an accounting firm partner and so forth. And yoga for me was one of those things that really helped me in my own personal transformation journey of, you know, pivoting my career into corporate at the time and so forth. And it has been something that I have wanted to talk about for a long time, of really how to tap into your personal purpose, not just your business goals, but how do you tap into who you are authentically and dive into your creative side and bring that back into work? And I've for years been thinking about how to write a book about it. And it's not a yoga book. It's really about how to uncover what that thing is for you to untap something that provides you peace so that you can take those moments away from work, find those creative outlets, and then what you learn from learning and from those creative things that you do outside of work or fitness or whatever that is, how does that work with your brain and driving into those executive skills and creative thinking and how you are as a leader to be more mindful in the work that you do. And so I term this the B3 method, which is business balance and bliss. And it breaks down different components of it throughout the book and also brings in other leaders as well of what they've done to help balance their work life. One of them being Tom Hood, who's in the book, and how he's used really creating a community and networking and so forth. And he talks about his story as well. And there's many different facets of it. You know, I feel like a lot of times you drive towards success, but you don't really know what that means. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the definition of success, but not necessarily feel like, is this what it feels like? I'm not right. so sure. Where you have to drive back and really bring it together. So the method is to really click those things in at those moments of stress or tension. And how do you step back and pause and pivot where you need to, so that you can create bliss, the maintenance of, you know, more happiness and peace and self-awareness.
Man, peace sounds really, really good right about now. I could use a little bit more peace in my life right now. So yeah, that sounds like a really important book. And your latest book last fall came out, Integrative Advisory Services, Expanding Your Accounting Services Beyond the Cloud. So again, congratulations, great year, a couple of new and important books hitting the market. This is the book that I wanted to spend a little bit more time talking about. And in this book, you talk about this idea of becoming a cherished advisor. And we've heard the phrase trusted business advisor over and over again. Tell me what you mean by cherished advisor. What's the concept behind that?
Sure. So when I started my practice, I started as an auditor coming out of school and started my business at 27 years old. And when I did that, I didn't start an audit practice because at the time I was actually had fear of the liability of having an audit practice by myself. So what I thought I was going to start was just the bookkeeping practice, and that's what we were going to do. And as clients started calling, the business changed very rapidly, because what they really needed was someone to ask questions to. Mm-hmm. An accountant to call them back, basically. Right. Yeah. And so we did bookkeeping services, but it rolled into controllership and CFO and consulting services. I was asked to write this book by Wiley Book Publishing from topics that I speak on out in the profession. And when I stepped back to think about what I really wanted it to focus on, I came back to that term that we all hear so much is trusted advisor. Is that the term that I think best represents something that you have to work toward? And when you look up the definition of trusted, it means honest, it means integrity, it means ethical, which is what we should be as accountants. I don't feel that's something that we need to strive to be. I think it's something that we need to be to represent ourselves in the accounting profession, and right. The things that we're due is so confidential. But when I step back and think about my business, there's always a story I think about because my business was in South Florida at the time, and we focused on the construction industry, and all my clients were going down very fast. I was focused on that industry there, and I had a client call me one day and they said, "We have $200. What can you do for $200 this month?" And that's when you know you're cherished. $200 meant everything to them. Mm-hmm. And they wanted it to find out how I could help their business with $200. And so that is something I think changes your perspective on what you need to strive for. When we're talking about becoming advisors, we need to be client focused. And not that we're not client focused, but what from an emotional standpoint of how they're trying to keep their businesses open, how they're trying to keep cash flow going, and what is our role if we put ourselves out there as an advisor to help them stay in business, to be there to be that confidant of stories that they can't tell their employees. And so that to me is the difference and why I came up with that term to really kind of build this book around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it really kind of captures the idea, the essence of who we should be rather than, you know, what everyone is telling you we ought to be. I love that word cherished. You know, it's just really kind of captures the essence of I think what this profession should be striving for. Forgive me for a second. I'm going to take a little bit of a tangent here because there seems to be a tie-in here or a crossroads where this idea of the cherished advisor kind of cross paths with new technology, technological advances, all these disruptions that we've been talking about, the cloud, artificial intelligence, blockchain, all these things. And you wrote an article for the AICPA recently that I thought kind of captured that crossroads really, really, really well and explained what's happening today to make advisory such a hot topic among accountants. And part of that is that advancing technology that's causing all this disruption, which, you know, quite frankly, scares the crap out of a lot of accountants that I've been talking to. I mean, they really kind of would rather just bury their heads in the sand, I think a lot of them, and hope this stuff goes away, and it's just not. So, but what you're saying in this article is that all this automation is actually... It could be a good thing for the profession. So I'm wondering if you could explain what you mean by that.
There's been so many times we've been disrupted as professionals. And you've been there when I've talked about my grandfather before. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a CPA in the 1930s. And it was before there was so much rules and regulation and so forth on CPAs at the time. And so all the stories about how he dealt with clients were much more in this advisor vein when I grew up hearing the stories because they were, you know, in poor neighborhoods that were trying to really help everyone get to a better situation for future generations. When you think about the amount of regulation that accountants are under and with technology and data just grew. So it only made the job harder because when it wasn't automated, that meant more and more data entry, more and more work that actually pulled you away from the client.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that started to become the norm, right? We started thinking that that's the norm. That's what the job is. But the original job was to help our clients, our business owners, and have those conversations, answer their phone calls, make sure that we're there for the needs of the business. Because there's been such a big gap of time where we've been more deadline driven and driving toward getting all this work done and not being able to be responsive to our clients and not being able to create a customer experience from the majority. I don't want to speak for everyone, but it's just the nature of the beast of all the regulation and deadlines. It's not, it wasn't intentional.
Right.
But when you step back and think about it, this technology allows us to get back to being advisors, true advisors, where we can spend the needed time with our clients that they truly want. That's what they value. They don't value us checking off all these boxes and all the time that it's spent. They would rather us get it done quicker so we can spend more time with them. But what that takes right now is the, like you said, the acceptance of this is where we are and the time investment to retool our skills. We can't just call ourselves advisors. We have to really truly live out what that term means and retool not only ourselves, but our team members so that they have the right skills to be able to work with clients as well, and not just the partner or the manager.
Yep. Yep. And what do you see as being some of those skills that we're going to have to kind of learn for the first time or relearn, but you know, that may not have been part of our core foundational skills that we were brought up learning? What are some of the new skills that we're going to have to learn in order to like take that step?
Well, really, you know, kind of stepping back, you know, the key words of AI, machine learning, blockchain, all of these terms are getting people's attention. It's getting people to wake up and realize these things are happening. But we need to step back, one step back, and make sure that we're in the cloud, number one.
Right.
Because if we're not in the cloud, we can't take advantage of anything.
Right.
So we need to assess our firms where there's processes that we can start automating that maybe we've never automated before. Mm-hmm. So this could be simpler processes like accounts payable or payment services of how you collect. And, you know, all it doesn't always have to be this big, huge implementation. We can start small and start building into where we want to be in 3 to 5 years. And then we want to also identify what those solutions are that our clients are using so that we make sure when we set up our systems and our processes that we're working with technology that our clients want to work with as well. Mm-hmm. And that they all integrate together and information comes faster. So part of the work that has to be done to retool is as an accountant, you're also going to have to be some sort of technologist that you're going to have to understand how information integrates, how data flows. And just because someone says it integrates doesn't mean that the accounting's right. So that you know how all those transactions are coming over. And then we need to think about not just changing the technology, but how do we actually change the way we do the work in the firm? So what you don't want to do is change the technology and then do it the same way you've always done it.
Right.
You want to make sure that you take the time to make sure you've rethought your own processes. And the good part about this is when you do this, you're actually practicing on your own firm. And when it's time to help a client, you've actually experienced this yourself. You've done it.
That's right.
On yourself. So it makes it easier to have the conversation. And then it comes to, we don't just need CPE on A&A credit and, you know, the typical CPE credit. You're going to need to figure out a bigger learning plan of understanding technology, but also understanding the soft skills needed and about change management and agility. Mm-hmm. Because what's going to happen now that's different than ever before is that even when you come up with a new process and a new procedure, it's not going to stay the same. Mm-hmm. It's constantly going to need to be iterated on and rethought, and like, how can we do it better? How can we do it better? But that's what makes it exciting. And that's what gets the staff engaged and excited, because everyone's in it together and can provide feedback back and forth.
That's really interesting. You know, a lot of folks that I've talked to in the profession about, you know, what new skills are CPAs going to need going forward, they immediately zero in on soft skills. Mm-hmm. You know, communication, change management, all of those things that are kind of the warm and fuzzy parts that most people don't pay attention to. But the first thing you said was you got to get the technology right in order to make that work for you, so that you can then focus. So that, I thought that was really interesting and kind of an insightful bit of information there. So I really like that, because I think you're right. If you don't get that part right, you're still going to understand it. Yeah.
You don't have a base understanding of it, it's going to be very hard for you to advise somebody else.
That's right.
You need a comfort level to feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very insightful. There's a lot of buzz in the profession right now about moving to advisory. Why should CPAs be considering that?
Well, advisory is a very broad term. I think whether you're in tax, whether you're in audit, whether you're just in advisory services, like that's your main mm-hmm. thing, there's a component of advisory that's going to happen because things are become so much more automated.
Yeah.
And that it won't be about you just meeting with your client one time a year. It'll be about, no matter what service line you're in, you're going to need to be up to date continuously throughout the year, as there's so many transactions, things are moving so fast, business moves so fast, in order to make sure that they're set up for success at the end of the year. I feel like, and I talk about this actually in the Business Balance Bliss book, mm-hmm. but it applies here as well, is this isn't changing your job, it's pivoting. And I think when you reframe it and think about it different, it's not so onerous. The thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of experience that you have as a tax accountant or as an auditor, as an advisor, all of that matters in order to make the switch to pivot to how you work with your client.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way that you work, and it's the client experience you create in the firm that changes, but it's not a new job. It's actually learning how to communicate what you know to another person.
it's almost like a strengthening a relationship almost in a way, as opposed to being just, you know, like you said, meeting once a year, looking at it as CPA and client. It's building a relationship, really.
Well, and that can be the uncomfortable part. You know, it's really good to practice these skills with your team members, with your spouse, whatever it is, you can fake it. I know it sounds silly, mm-hmm. but it's important to do it. I actually talk about that. I have a whole chapter about selling and soft skills and marketing in the book, in Integrative Advisory Services. And it talks about how you need to shadow people. You need to practice these conversations and pretend one person's the client and you're the accountant and vice versa, so you can give each other feedback. You need to listen in on phone calls or meetings and give each other feedback of like, was there a question you missed or something else that you would have said in that situation? And these are things that are not normal to us, but it's the only way that you get more comfortable with that conversation style versus how you've worked before, is to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation until it doesn't feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in that article that you wrote for the AICPA, you outlined four key steps. Do you want to get started on this path? Here are four things that you should consider doing right off the bat. Can you kind of walk us through that?
Yeah. So the first one that I talked about was identifying areas in your firm where technology would be helpful. And I would also say this also isn't always a process. It could be like this on Zoom or Google Hangout. It's how you communicate. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking, we want to get clients in other states or do remote work, you should start testing video technology because being on the phone versus face-to-face changes the client relationship.
Yep.
Secondly, you need to remain up to date on the latest technology. So that may not be everybody that wants to do that, but you need to identify a person in your firm or outside of your firm that's going to inform you on the latest trends and technologies so that you stay up to date and you can be the one that your client is coming to about those things as well. You want to be the central point where your clients are like, my accountant keeps me up to date on what's happening, you know? And thirdly, is figuring out how to productize your business. So when I talked about before about change management, a lot of times firms are set up for a one-to-one relationship, right? So you have one accountant that's assigned to 20 clients and that's their client list. But this is actually flipping that on its head and working in a collaborative team approach where work actually gets done as a team and you assign the client relationship manager and who's the person that's actually talking to the client, the people that want to do that type of work versus the people that want to stay behind the scenes and work with the technology and get the work done and do the analysis behind the scenes and have somebody else maybe speak on it to the client. It doesn't have to be everybody, but to make that workflow more efficient flowing through the business. And then lastly is really working on your soft skills. One, which is how you communicate, but two, your analytical skills. Because what's going to happen is, you know, the information is going to feed in. Well, anyone can pull up that report. Your client can pull up that report, but they don't know what it means. And so really thinking about how would you communicate the changes that you're seeing in the financial statements and what two or three improvements could you proactively let that client know that they need to make and change the relationship that you have with that client? They're like, wow, I've never gotten this from an accountant before. Mm-hmm. And look how you train and mentor the team around you so that your whole business is not relying on you.
Yep, yep.
That you're actually delegating work and letting them, like not telling them what to do, telling them what you need and seeing how they come out with that answer.
Well,
and that's just reading from there.
And that's huge because it does a couple of things, right? It frees you up to do some really important work and it allows your team to learn and grow and take next steps themselves. So I think it kind of serves a couple of different purposes there.
For sure. Yeah.
Just to kind of wrap things up here, I'm going to ask you to pull out your crystal ball and look into the future for a second. So I've heard him say this a couple of times. Barry Melanson, president, CEO of the AICPA, has kind of famously said a couple of times recently that he believes 10 years from now, we won't be able to recognize the vast majority of CPA firms out there just because of this advancing technology and the impact that it's going to have on how they do business. So what do you think they're going to look like? What does this profession's future look like to you?
I think it's cross-functional, cross-disciplined. So I think there's still going to be firms and still going to be tax accountants needed and auditors needed. And it will be in a different way. The work will be different where we're more assessing the systems and the technology and how information feeds through than maybe doing the data entry and analyzing the numbers as they come through and understanding whole new levels of verification and all of that's going to really change the process of work. However, because of that, we can't be a one-stop shop. Like a CPA is not gonna be the one person that knows blockchain technologies, supply chain management, you know, and all these other disciplines that will be necessary in order to make sure we can give the right analysis, give the right advice to our clients. And I think opening up our thought process about the different roles in an accounting firm will change. Maybe it won't be called an accounting firm, I'm not sure. But it's all the same work, but it'll be different disciplines working together and not necessarily always working with an accountant.
So not necessarily having to know everything yourself, but know where to find the answers and connecting with the right people. It's more about networks.
It's collaboration and interconnectedness. Even if you're a sole proprietor, you're going to need to create your network of advisors that you can go out so that you can make sure you're giving the best advice to your client.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, we'll keep the conversation going. Amy, thanks for joining me. I know you're busy and I appreciate you taking the time. So thanks so much
for having me.
That was all-around accounting rock star Amy Vetter. And I forgot to mention she actually is a rock star. She plays bass guitar in a band. So she really has done a little bit of everything. If you want to read more about her thoughts on advisory services and becoming a cherished advisor, Google the following phrase: the robots are not just coming, they are already here. It's an article she wrote on the subject for the AICPA. And you can find out more about Amy herself at amyvetter.com. That's AmyVetter.com.